How do you do? How often has the question been asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, the man in our story would once have answered that question by saying, I want to be President of the United States. Along the way to accomplishing his goal, he encountered a love relationship that finally led to the greatest love relationship of all, when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. From Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, we bring you Unshackled, true stories of real people. Every person has a story to tell. Throngs of men and women with shattered dreams and abandoned goals trudge the streets of Chicago. Some of them enter the doors of the Pacific Garden Mission, where they meet what we like to call instant friends. Some new arrivals are wary of our friendship. Outside, on the streets and in the alleys, strangers rarely appear friendly unless they want to take advantage. But here at the old lighthouse, warm greetings are followed by warm food, clean clothes, and a comfortable bed, as well as medical and dental services if needed, and everything, including counseling, is provided free of charge, made possible by the generosity of those who have a heart for homeless. Here, our new friends are introduced to the friend above all friends. And now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 2542 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Who knocked down the display?
It was an accident, Mrs. Ferguson.
What were you boys doing?
We were just playing with the modeling clay.
Harvey, you go sit in the hallway, and Paul, you stay back there. If you cause any more trouble, I'm going to take you to the principal's office.
Yes, ma'am.
That's your assignment for tomorrow. Harvey, come inside so you can get your assignment. Paul, now where did he go?
Ta-da!
Paul, I'm taking you to the principal's office. What's wrong with you climbing inside that trash barrel?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Ferguson. Ouch, you're hurting my ear.
The principal will help you keep your attention on your classwork.
Ouch!
Sit down here.
The man in our story grew up in Whitewater, Wisconsin, in an atmosphere devoid of absolutes. This resulted in his pushing the limits in his search for boundaries. And we'll learn just where his search took him as we hear the true story of Paul Rafior right now on Unshackled.
The principal was very angry and threatened to kick me out of school. I laughed at him and told him I didn't believe him. I was right. My parents and the other authorities in my life were much too enlightened to provide the absolute standards for which I longed. My mother's dominant personality always overruled my father's docile character. So after fifth grade, I spent many days anywhere other than in our home. My boyhood days were very adventurous, much like those of Huckleberry Finn's. Behind our house was a slope that led to a stream that we called a creek. It was really my best friend. Along with my siblings and friends, I enjoyed the turtles, tadpoles, fish, and chiggers that provided excitement and adventure to our days. I was constantly searching for absolute truth and the greatest heights in sports and adventure.
Yeah, I've been driving my granddaddy's car.
Oh, you mean it? He lets you drive?
Well, he doesn't exactly let me. I roll it out of the garage at night and then go for a joyride.
Why don't we go for a ride tonight?
Well, I guess so. Where should we meet?
Well, let's meet at Harvey's Playhouse. We'll get permission to stay at Harvey's house, and you can pick us up there.
Yeah, okay. I'll be there at midnight.
What took you so long, Bill? We've been waiting almost an hour.
Yeah, come on, get in.
Hey, I'll ride shotgun.
Okay.
Oh, I hope your granddaddy didn't see you.
Yeah, don't worry. I do it all the time.
Yeah, Paul, you're not chicken, are you?
Of course not.
Ooh, this is fun.
Look, it's the police.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. If I have a record, I can never become governor or president.
Oh, no. How will I face my granddaddy?
The police took us to the station. Our parents were called and had to come down at 4 a.m. to get us. In time, my adventurous spirit was redirected a bit. My high school days were a strange combination of an external pursuit of success and popularity and an internal search for real truth. I was president of my class and earned excellent grades, in spite of the energy and time spent in pursuit of girls, sports, and partying. I seemed happy-go-lucky, but inside I remained troubled that life didn't hold any absolute truth. Following my graduation from high school in 1968, I was given the opportunity through a local organization to go to Europe to work for the summer. I met a young Canadian who was also working in the same town.
I'd sure hope to make a lot more money this summer.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Brian, but I'm not going to spend my whole summer in Europe working in a grocery store for less than 50 cents an hour.
Yeah, you quitting?
Yeah, I don't have much money, but I want to see all of Europe.
Yeah, let's go together, Paul. It'll be safer. We can buy some gear and hitchhike.
What should we do? It's too late to hitchhike tonight.
Yeah. Hey, let's go down to the bus station and buy tickets so we can send our luggage to Brussels, huh?
Hello! Hello!
Brian, I think he's trying to get our attention.
Yeah.
You Americans!
I'm American. You speak English?
A little.
We're hitchhiking around Europe over the summer, but it's too late to start out tonight.
Hungry?
Yes, we're hungry.
Sleep tonight with me.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Welcome, welcome! Welcome. Cheese. Bread.
Hey, thanks.
Your decorations are unusual.
Tired, huh? Sleep here.
Oh, no. We can sleep on the floor. Brian, you take the pillow.
Yeah, Paula. You can use that sheepskin. Keep your bed, mister. We'll be comfortable on the floor.
The stranger was homosexual. I explained that we were not. The next morning, we hurried away after accepting his offer of breakfast. We hitchhiked to Brussels, and then to Berlin, and on to different places in Germany. The people who picked us up along the way always proved interesting. We proceeded through Denmark into Sweden, and down to Switzerland and France, then back to Brussels. I finally returned home and learned that I had been given a full scholarship for academics and football to a private college in Iowa. I always received excellent grades in spite of my lifestyle. Perhaps a genetic phenomenon. My dad had received his M.A. at the University of Chicago, his Ph.D. at Iowa, and he taught economics at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. My college days were filled with girls, fraternity parties, and sports.
You want us another big one? 66.
Oh, thanks, Muzzy.
3 sacks. Coming in like a kamikaze pilot? You'll make all conference for sure.
Hey, easy on the freshman music. Rapier's ego's already bigger than a dozen football stadiums.
Ain't nothing wrong with a big ego, Bart, as long as you got the credentials to back it up. And I've got it. Bart had me pretty well sized up. My big mouth and my vanity rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. High school hadn't prepared me for the pursuit I was experiencing from girls in college. I dated a lot, but felt that I'd never consider any girl too seriously until I saw Pam. She was talking with a co-ed.
Do you have a date for the homecoming dance, Millie?
Yeah, a nobody I'm holding for insurance. Is Joe coming from Davenport to take you?
If he doesn't, I won't go.
Oh, Joe's a great guy. Already graduated, making big bucks. You two should get married, Pam.
Well, someday, I hope. For now, I've got 4 years of college ahead of me.
Mr. Muscles over there is staring at us. Oh, it's Paul Rapier. Pam, I would love to date him for homecoming.
Oh, cheers. I'll remove myself from competition.
Oh, he's staring at you.
A friend introduced me to Pam, and I asked her for a date. I knew after that date that she would be my wife. I asked her for a date almost every day from then on until I began to be chided by my roommate.
Hey, I've been checking on Pam. She's in pretty deep with this guy Joe from Davenport.
Deep? You watch, Musy. I'm gonna marry her.
What? You mean we're not gonna be roommates?
Hey, I got my career to consider for now. But one day, she'll be Mrs. Rapier.
I'll tell you what, you've gone bonkers over this girl.
So?
Hey, by the way, what's all this talk about you being the first underclassman ever elected president of our fraternity?
Well, and you being my campaign manager.
It's never too early to start building your dossier.
I confronted Pam about a relationship with Joe. She said, well, I guess I'm not the right one for you. I said, yeah, you are the right one. Perhaps this is just not the right time. Oh, I was devastated. I was so dejected that I spent the next 6 weeks in a drunken stupor. I began to date other girls and threw myself into the campaign for president of our fraternity. I won the election by a landslide. And finally, Pam and I began to date again, in spite of her relationship with Joe. During summer vacation, I would often hitchhike to Indiana to see her. One week, she came to Wisconsin to see me. Ah, the summer's been great, especially the time we spent together.
Do you have to be back early for football practice?
Yeah, but hey, I'm gonna come down and see you before I go.
I enjoyed meeting your family, especially your grandfather. He's real serious about his faith. I never knew that you were religious.
I'm not. My dad thinks that anybody who believes the Bible is throwing away his brains. But Grandpa Raphier has always read the Bible during our visits. He makes the Bible and prayer seem pretty important. But since high school, my interests have centered on becoming rich and famous.
I'm sure you'll be successful, Paul. You're pretty outstanding.
So, is Joe out of the picture? Joe was still in the picture, but I could tell that things had changed. I worked on the second shift at a car assembly plant during the summer. It provided money for my trips to visit Pam. I scheduled my last visit before returning to college to coincide with a visit that my uncle would make to our home. He also lived in Indiana, and I had agreed to meet him at a specific place and time for the ride back. Pam and I stayed up until 4 a.m., and we were scheduled to leave by 6 a.m. As we drove to meet my uncle, we were both extremely sleepy. I wish I could have called my uncle to let him know we might be late, but I'm sure he's already on his way.
I could tell Mom was a little reluctant to let us drive her new car.
Yeah, it makes me feel special. I know how much she loves this car.
I can hardly keep my eyes open. I'm so sleepy.
Oh, yeah. Lean on me. You can relax while I try to make up some time.
Be careful, Paul.
Will Paul heed Pam's warning? We'll find out in just a moment. Chicago is often called the crossroads of America. Today, Interstates 55, 80, 90, and 94 deliver millions of travelers into the metropolis. In addition, O'Hare International Airport, the world's busiest, and Midway Airport bring millions more here. And Amtrak arrives from and departs to all points on the compass. And at the heart of all this is the downtown area, Chicago's famous Loop. Just below the Loop, you'll find our place, 646 South State Street. We're the old lighthouse, the Pacific Garden Mission. Put us on a must-visit list for your next holiday trip. Meet members of our staff, tour the facilities, hear the testimonies of men and women whose lives have been transformed. Visit us on a Saturday and join the studio audience for a production of an Unshackled story. And if you'd like, you're invited to stay for the evening meal and praise and testimony service. Just write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please include your address.
Are you okay? What have I done? Help! Help! I need somebody, help me!
I've called for help!
Help me move the car. It's on top of her.
I'm on my way down. I'm coming.
The car went over the cliff and landed on Pam's legs. I had to call her parents and tell them that I totaled their car and severely damaged their daughter. God used this incident in both of our lives. We realized that we could have died. When Pam was released, she came home in a wheelchair. After a few weeks, she progressed to crutches. During her recovery, she realized that she didn't want to live without me. And I was elated. We decided to get married in the summer after our sophomore year. We moved into a small trailer where Pam began to make a home out of meager means. I had two jobs plus a full college schedule. The following year, we had our first child, which added to our already full schedule. There were other major changes coming.
So with less than a minute remaining, it's Valley's ball on the Bison 2-yard line. Valley is the perennial conference champion, but facing the undefeated Bisons, who hold a 4-point lead. Valley has come to the line in the T formation. Pitch out to Washburn, going wide to the left. He evades one tackle and another, but here comes number 66, Paul Rafior for the Bisons. Oh, a tremendous tackle as Rafior breaks down Washburn short of the goal line.
I hit that guy cursing like a demon, devastating him head-on with what's called a spear tackle. We were both rushed to the hospital. They feared that I had broken my neck. Fortunately, it wasn't, but the injury continued to affect me until I had to stop playing football. That's when I changed my major to law. I intensified my pre-law studies while employed full-time. Pam took a semester off, then returned to her elementary education major. Later, we moved on to law school at the University of Iowa. Pam hoped to find work in the school system, but had to accept a job in a factory. I also worked there on the weekend. 3 years passed quickly. During my second year, I took another swing at campus politics. I was elected president of the Student Bar Association. These pancakes are state-of-the-art, Pam.
Thank you. It's obvious you've done a great job as president of the Student Bar Association. Are you sorry your term is ending?
Well, not really. I'm anxious to get the bar exam behind me and get onto the Navy. These are important steps in my career. All of my accomplishments will help in my political career.
It's hard to believe that I could one day be living in the governor's mansion and the White House.
Pam, I want to make a difference. Fame and power are the keys to making an impact on society. Everybody will know us. Right, Nikki?
Nikki, come here, sweetheart.
Nikki, come here.
Our brilliant preschool student. Daddy's gonna walk you to school this morning.
What's that, Daddy?
That's a church, honey.
What's a church, Daddy?
Well, a church is, a place where...
It has big windows. Can we go see it?
Well, people go to church on Sundays, Nikki.
Can we go on Sunday?
I'm sorry, Nikki. Daddy works all day on Sundays. That Friday, both Pam and I got pink slips at the factory. Nikki was overjoyed to learn we would be visiting a church on Sunday. We had no idea what church to choose, so we found one in the Yellow Pages. I thought I had selected the church at random. Looking back, I'm convinced the Lord guided us. We attended both Sunday school and the worship service. While Pam prepared our meal, Nikki began playing Sunday school.
Everybody, come over here. We're gonna sing a song.
It sounds like our daughter's hooked.
I'd like to go back sometime myself.
Yeah, Nikki, you'll see to that. Hey, did you notice everyone was carrying a Bible?
Yeah, it was nice of that man to give us one.
Yeah, I'll have to read it sometime. My grandfather always felt it was important. Law school had become very intense, and I needed to spend a great deal of time on assignments. I went to bed by 7, then up at midnight to study until morning. Somehow, I made time to begin reading the New Testament the man had given us. The teachings consumed my thoughts. Jesus called himself God and said heaven and hell were real places. Concepts I found difficult to accept, but fascinating. Sometimes I shared them with Pam.
Morning, Paul. Is Nikki awake yet?
Haven't heard a peep. Pam, listen to this.
I'm listening.
Here, in the opening verses of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Pam, this is intellectual stuff. I mean, it's so similar to the authoritative writing in the law. I mean, look here in chapter 18. Pilate asks Jesus, what is truth? Pilate wanted to know if Jesus was king of the Jews, and his response is, You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.
I need to show you something that is also true, Paul. Our money supply. After I buy groceries, there is no more.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry. I figured I'd have an interview by now at one of the places where I'd applied. We both got part-time jobs, but the money in our cash box dwindled until, finally, we had to apply for food stamps.
Well, it wasn't such a bad meal, considering.
Oh, it was great, sweetheart.
What did you think of church this morning? Nikki sure loves going every Sunday.
I'm learning so much. I think I'm giving as much attention to the Bible as I am to my law studies. I'm so discouraged by the damages our political and judicial leaders have done to our Constitution and Bill of Rights. I've read through the New Testament 5 times in the last few months, and it's solid, Pam. It's changing me.
What do you mean?
Well, I've always longed for absolute truths, and I find them in the Bible. I mean, I can feel my arrogance and pride melting away as I study the character of Jesus and his followers. In the study of law, I see how the political persuasions of men have eroded the laws governing our nation, but the teaching in Romans is like a hammer driving home truth to my soul. Like Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Then in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Those words lingered in my heart for several days. Whosoever shall call. Shall call. Then at 3 o'clock in the morning of January 19th, 1975, the dawn of faith came to my heart. It was life-transforming. God, I have searched for truth all my life, and I know now that it's found in Jesus. I need you, Lord. Change me, God. I believe the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Please forgive my sins and save me, Lord. Help me to be the father and husband that you want me to be. I want to live my life for you, Jesus. Amen. Pam, I've got something to tell you. Can you wake up, sweetheart?
I
want to tell you something.
Tell me what?
I'm saved, Pam. I'm saved. Everybody at church was happy to learn of my salvation. When my baptismal was scheduled, they assumed that Pam was also saved and included her name too. But I worried as we prepared for our baptism. I prayed a prayer of dedication to God, and Pam admitted that she was not saved before, but she prayed at that point to receive the Lord. We were both baptized that Sunday and have continued to grow in faith. After passing the bar exam, I enlisted in the Navy in August 1975 and was eventually stationed in Norfolk, Virginia, where I served as a Navy JAG. Due to my success in the courtroom, I was given serious crimes like murder, rape, and armed robbery. It became apparent that the Lord had opened the door for me to share His truth. Many of my clients and their families made professions of faith in Christ. The need for spiritual healing in their lives became obvious to me, so I requested and was granted permission to start a Bible study at the Navy brig. Everything was going well until one day I was summoned to see the captain.
Lieutenant Rapier, please close the door.
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant, it is my understanding that you are conducting a Bible study at the brig. Is that true?
Yes, sir, it is true.
You are also holding a Bible study right here in the office, including both officers and enlisted men. Is that right?
Yes, sir, but I
Lieutenant, I hereby order you to stop the services at both places. That is clear, isn't it?
Captain, you know as well as I do that that is an illegal order. Yes, your order is clear, sir. However, it is also unconstitutional, and I'm asking you with all due respect to rescind your order, sir.
Lieutenant Rafior, you will regret that. What I said was not an order, but if you understand what's good for you, you will take heed. You're excused.
I continued the Bible studies until I left the Navy. By then, we had another daughter. In 1978, we moved to Wyoming, where I became a partner in a thriving law firm. The Lord used us in the lives of many of our clients. Then in December 1979, through an acquaintance from our past, we were asked to go to Takamatsu, Japan as missionaries for 1 year. We had just purchased a new home and had no knowledge of the Japanese language, but were sure God was sending us. By May 1980, we had sold our home, and I gave up my interest in the law firm. Our time spent in Japan was very fruitful. Many placed their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Today, I serve as chairman in a child evangelism outreach located in Warsaw, Indiana. My law practice primarily relates to corporate and business matters, which provide contact with business people who need to know the Savior. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
We hope Paul's story has encouraged you to put your faith in Christ and not in your own understanding. According to Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." Friend, if you would like to invite Christ into your heart and life but need help in this decision, you're invited to get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-922-1462. Email can be sent to unshackled@pgm.org. We're glad you heard this true testimony and hope you invite your friends and family to listen next time. Remember, the manager of this station is always encouraged to know this program is important to you. So please write and call to say thanks for Unshackled. This is program number 2542. Heard in the true story of Paul Rafior were Chuck McLennan, Marcy Mancotti, Dale Ingram, Mickey Hurd, Stephen Bayorgin, and Greg Whalen. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script by Ken Anderson. And I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Write today. We look forward to hearing from you. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. There is an answer to your problem, so call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.